Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, David Hosey is a GAA senior club manager and former Meath underage player. As a teen, David had a promising career in both soccer and GAA, but drugs and alcohol got in the way. And for quite a long time, close to 30 years. David is here this morning, and thanks so much for coming in and telling us your
thanks
story.
Thanks for having me, Brendan.
Great
really
to meet you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Okay, so you've been in recovery since 2022?
Yeah, I went into Coonawirra in June 2022, and yeah, it's been a journey ever since, yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm finally okay being me.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's go back. You were drinking and drugging for a very long time before that, were you? Tell us a bit about
Yeah, I grew up in an estate in Nav in County Meath. It was a tough area to live. I lived there with my mother and father. And I was full of fear right from an early age. Anxiety.
Full of fear?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember I used to go down to my grandparents. They used to live outside Kells. And I used to wake up in the middle of the night disorientated.
Really?
And I'd be banging the walls, looking to get out the door and screaming. And sometimes I'd find the door and other times I'd wake up after passing out on the bedroom floor. But I never spoke about those things, you know.
Kept totally locked in.
Well, you didn't speak about that back then, you know. I only started recently speaking them over the last few years. But yeah, look, my dad used to play soccer and he played with Parkville in the Leinster Senior League. And I used to be the ball boy. So I used to love going to the games, and I remember the big strong men getting ready before the game and the smell of deep heat. Every time I speak about it, I can still smell the deep heat.
But, that's funniest, yeah.
Yeah, and I just crave for that environment, that belonging right from the get-go. And unfortunately, when I was around 12, my dad got sick. I remember that day, he was supposed to go play and I was annoyed because I used to love going, but he couldn't go and he had a pain in his head. And the next morning, he was rushed to St Vincent's Hospital where he contracted meningitis.
Oh, no.
He was lucky to live. He suffered lifelong complications. But, yeah, I think that was the catalyst to what was to unfold over my life over the next 30 years, you know.
So you that your father introduced you to that. You've described the smell and everything.
Yes.
So that was where you belonged. You
yes.
loved it. So and you became a talented footballer in both soccer and GAA.
Yeah, look, my escape back then was sport. Colin Moroc would have been a big hero, and Ian Rush from Liverpool, and I would have pretended to be them hours on end.
Yeah,
I know kids do that, but I did it because I didn't want to be me.
Right.
I was quite good, and that got me acceptance around the community, and I was craving acceptance of all my peers, and yeah, so I kept delving into that, and yeah, I started excelling through the teenage years, soccer and Gaelic, and but I was becoming an angry young boy. I was resenting my parents, resenting my father for leaving me mother for like bringing me up to St Vincent's Hospital to trek up, angry with God for giving me the life he did. But yeah, I started drinking when I was around 15 years of age and drugging around the same time too. But I liked what both substances did for me.
There's a perception that getting someone into sport will keep them on the right road. Why do you think you went extreme so young?
I can't tell you. I don't. Maybe the fear. I didn't want to be me. I was resenting the world.
I have to say, do you know what? You've got it well worked out. You've got a very clear description of what went wrong for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's very clear. When did things start to spiral? Can you remember when things started to go wrong?
Well, I drank from the very beginning to blackout. Very beginning.
Did you?
Yes, yes. To blackout, to oblivion, yes.
Wow.
And I drugged addictively as well. But it was binging.
Okay.
I was binging. Like I was marrying the two, the football and the drinking and drugging, you know. As I said, I was excelling in the Nav Nomatinies at a very young age, and I was getting on underage teams. I recall I was on the Meath under 17s and I turned up drunk.
Wow.
And coming down off ecstasy tablets.
Wow. Can you remember the first blackout? What age were you?
I would have been 15.
15, okay.
Yeah.
But you were able to keep up the sport.
Yeah, it was a mask. It was craving acceptance. I had a mask for every walk of life, to be honest. It was just a mask. I actually created an alter ego through my teenage years called Hosey. And I needed him to survive. He was bravo and the soul and life of every party. But David was getting lost and lost. Scared little boy was being enveloped.
And so the blackouts and these, as you said, benders were normal part of your life?
Yes.
Wow.
That chaos. It's all new.
Was it chaos?
It's all new chaos. And then you go 2 or 3 weeks with focus and then chaos. And it's just a cycle.
And the people around you, did people know that you were going off the rails?
Yeah, look, I did.
Looking back, you can.
It was the elephant in the room with regards to the sports end of things. Like I didn't go following on from the under 17s. I didn't make the minor panel because I was missing training. Was I good enough to be on the mid minors? 100%. But I wasn't mature enough, or I was no consistency in my life. You know, I wasn't consistent at anything.
And you're about 17 now. Are you describing
17? Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And did anybody try and help at any stage?
No, my parents had their own issues. I was getting lost more and more in the world, but not really.
So you got married?
Got married, yes. Got married.
And you're still drinking?
Still, again, the binging. And I got married in 2004, I think, if I remember. And we were married for 15 years. But I'd go missing in the marriage.
What's that mean?
I'd go missing for a week.
Oh, wow.
Binging, and I'd come back when the money gave up, or money ran out, or the body gave up, and I'd manipulate my way back in. But I say manipulate now.
Your honesty is incredible, I have to be honest, and it's really heartwarming to hear how honest you are, because you really have a very clear understanding of what happened to you now, I think.
Thank you. Yeah. But it was survival for me then.
No, okay.
I know, as I said, I actually made the poor woman feel sorry for me. Wow. Getting back in, and no person should put up with that and the things, you know.
And I'm reading here, you left football around the time you got married.
Yes, I said I was excelling. I was excelling with Navan O'Matney's, and I won a senior championship around 18, 19 years of age. And I was the top scorer in Mead, whole of Mead.
Wow.
But when the final whistle went in the final, I walked off that pitch the loneliest young boy in the world, and I just turned to what was in my pocket in the restroom, cocaine and drink, and wow. Went on a week's long binge, and I got dropped for the first round of the Leinster Club Championship. I was after being, it's just madness when I recall it, I was after being the top scorer in the whole county, and we had some very good forwards back then, Mead, and I couldn't enjoy it. When I look back now, what an achievement for a young man to do, to be the top scorer in the county at that. But as it says, I was lost.
A word that just jumped out at me when you described walking off the pitch is the word lonely. Describe that. What do you mean you were the loneliest man in the world?
Like, I was the life and soul of every party, but that was the persona and the mask. But inside, I was lonely. I'd be lonely in a stadium of 60,000. I'd be lonely in a pub of 200. But my persona and the mask, Hosey, would be the life and soul. But inside, I always had this hole in my soul, and nothing would ever satisfy it. Nothing.
And now that you've been through rehab and therapy, do you know what that hole was?
It was craving acceptance. It was probably the trauma from not getting the love a little boy should, or a kid should. It's all childhood trauma, I think, really, you know. And I was just, as I says, I was resenting, I was blaming my mother, my father, blame God. I recall I was playing in an intermediate final, and I went on a 4-day bender the week before it, and I wasn't in a fit state to take the field. And there's a picture of me before that game with my nephew, and I wasn't in a fit state, and I kicked two wides early on, and I put 999 call out to God, the God I resented.
Wow.
And I ended up kicking 1-4 in that game. The God I resented, I was putting out a 999 call. As I speak to you now, Brendan, it's just complete chaos and madness in my head, you know. Mm-hmm. Complete chaos.
So obviously it took its toll on your relationships.
Yes, as I said, who would put up with that type of behaviour? Nobody should be. Nobody, no, and marriage was gone. But that suited me.
Did it?
It did, it suited me.
And you were free.
I was free to drink and drug with nobody nigh me, and my first love. Drinking and drugging was my crutch, was my escape from what was going on inside me, and I didn't know any other way. I couldn't say it with myself. But as I said, she threw me out, and it just developed and progressed and progressed into more and chaos. I'd live with my mother and father separated, and I'd live with my father and he'd throw me out. I'd live with my mother and she'd throw me out. I'd live with my grandmother's when she was alive, and my uncle who lived there would throw me out, and couch surf, I could end up anywhere. It was just...
Your honesty is really compelling. This is, you're being so honest and open. And it's very impressive. Like, congratulations on that, first of all.
Thank you.
I'm sure there's somebody somewhere listening to this and you're helping them right now. It sounds like there's a lot of anger in there.
Yes.
And was there shame mixed in there too? Because after the anger comes the shame, isn't it?
Oh, sure. I hated myself. You know, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. It was all internal, you know. And I was projecting this image to the wall, but just anger. Yeah.
And talking about it, is it liberating? Is it freeing?
I'm still probably healing as well, so it's tough as well. Like, I relive moments in my head. But yeah, the goal is to help. Look, I was a promising GAA and soccer player at that age, and you know, I've started talking in local GAA clubs. The reason being, it's not easy to put yourself out. I have three kids, but I was never afforded the opportunity to listen to someone like me, Brendan. And
do you think it would have helped?
I don't know, but I don't think it would have done any harm anyway. You know, so if young lads and girls can listen to what I went through and maybe help them think twice. You know, the GAA is a super organisation who give a sense of belonging to so many people around the world. But are we doing enough at grassroots level to educate kids and make people aware? And that's the goal, I suppose.
And can I ask, how were you financing the drinking drugs?
To be honest, it ended up robbing from family.
Wow.
Yeah, robbing from family. Yes. I'm in the process of paying that back to. We were very close, and I destroyed that relationship from my actions. But again, it was survival. I didn't know I was lost. Would I do that now? Never in a month of Sundays. But yeah, I'm in the process of paying that money back, and on that journey, I'm on the journey. You know.
Good for you. And how bad did your health get, considering you're a sports person, you know?
Health was, I didn't want to live anymore. Suicide attempts. Two suicide attempts. The second one, I rang a friend. And I coach GAA now, and he coached with me. We became really good friends. And I always wondered why he came into my life.
A godsend.
Yeah, you're my guardian angel, really. Sorry, I got emotional when I speak about it. Yeah, he's my guardian angel. And we're great friends. We'll go to the gym this evening and we'll slag each other, yeah.
So, as you said there, you went into treatment 3 years ago, 2022. What made you finally go and seek help?
I was bet. I was gone. If he didn't answer the phone that day, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you. So really? 100%. So that's why he says he's my guardian angel. So he rang, he brought me home, and he took any paraphernalia that was in the house and alcohol, stayed with me that night. And the next morning, another friend came, and they started the process of ringing around treatment centres. And lucky enough, 6 weeks later, I walked through the doors of Coonwirra. Very difficult. I walked through that door on a Monday, June the 20th, 2022, and I thought my life was ending. But really, it was only beginning. First few weeks were very tough.
Were they?
Nervous breakdowns. Planning my escape and how I'd celebrate when I finished the 12 weeks. Just madness. Like, I was planning I'd go and get some cocaine and go down the country and drink for a weekend and then head back up to Nab and Mead, pretend I'm all okay. It's just crazy, mad thoughts in my head. But slowly but surely, the head started slowing down. And I started looking at myself, Brendan. I started looking inside what role I played in everything from when I was 15 or younger, the damage I've done. And I've tried to heal internally, and I'm on that journey, you know.
And is that part of the process, taking responsibility?
100%. Okay. Yeah, I own everything that happened in the past, marriage, my kids seen, work, sports, I own now.
And how does that work? Explain that to me. Will you take responsibility for that? Then, if you own it, you can deal with it. Is that how it works?
Yes. The hardest thing to do was forgive myself.
Oh, really?
That was the hardest thing to do, was to forgive myself. to start moving forward. You have to heal internally. That I feel that's only my opinion. Am I fully healed? No. I'm an alcoholic and an addict for my life, and I get a 24-hour reprieve of this. But as I says, I can look.
What does that mean? You get a 24-hour reprieve?
You know, I have my day over. I've a lot of faith, and you get 24. I get up and I have my day over, and I say I won't drink today. And a day turns into a week, and a week turns into a month, and a month turns into half a year, and you keep going. I'm not going to turn around and say I'll never drink again, because that's too daunting. Or drug again, that's too daunting.
Is it?
Yes, you get overwhelmed. Well, I feel it's too overwhelming. So
I understand that makes actual sense, doesn't it?
If you keep it in the day and get to the end of the day and start again, you know, and try to be the best you can be. Well, I have a lot of gratitude, and I practice gratitude and humility now. I try.
Do you?
I'm human. I make mistakes like any other person. But I practice gratitude and humility now, and I try to be a better person.
Your lovely text coming in, the most honest interview I've ever heard, Brendan. Best wishes to that man. He needs to write a book. Some of his texts. That's true. You're very eloquent. You should write a book. That's one of the most, another text, or one of the most honest stories of addiction survival I've heard. It will help so many young people. Isn't that lovely to hear?
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
As I said, I was never afforded the opportunity to listen to me. And that's why I've started going around GA clubs to spread the awareness and educate people.
And how is life in recovery? How different is it?
Life in recovery, it's great.
Is it?
It's tough as well, you know. I always wanted to escape myself, but I have to feel the feelings now. The best thing about recovery and treatment is you get your feelings back, and the worst thing about it is you get your feelings back. So I have to feel the feelings. I can't run to the crutch. They were my crutch, but I knew they were the problem. I feel the feelings, and they'll pass. You know, if I get angry at times, but it'll pass.
So anybody who's listened to this that is affected by this, of course, if they go to the RT website /helpline, what would you say to any young person who might be listening to this and might be struggling with addiction?
Well, I didn't want to live. I get up every morning with gratitude. So there's always help. One phone call changed my life, my guardian angel. And there's always help. There's always a way out.
So the text here, just wanted to say to the speaker on right now, your raw honesty is inspiring and incredibly powerful. I just wanted to say well done, and thank you for getting up every day and fighting the good fight to remain sober. What so many don't understand about addiction is it's an ongoing fight. You've been sober since 2022, but every day you need to keep drawing up that same strength every day. You're a huge inspiration to anyone struggling with addiction and trauma. Thank you for sharing your story, and please give that lovely, lonely 15-year-old boy inside forgiveness and a hug. That's so lovely, isn't it? That's really lovely.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's really, thank you for that text. That's really lovely. So I just want to leave you with the final word. If anybody's listening and they're infected by this right now, give us one little message for them, please.
Be strong. There's always help out there. There's always help. There's always hope. You're not a bad person. You're just sick, trying to get well.
David, you're really inspiring, and I wasn't expected to be nearly moved to tears this morning, but keep up the good fight. You're amazing.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Go to the website, if you /helplines at the RT website. David Hosey, best of luck, and we'll see you again soon when we write that book.
Thanks a million, Brian.
Thank you.